Luke 22, 31, 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Let's keep looking at this story. We're moving now. Satan desired to have Peter. Isn't that what Jesus just said? Say. You think Satan wants to eat your lunch? Yes or no? Absolutely. He desired to have Peter. Satan wanted to shake him to his very foundation. Wanted to eat him alive. Satan has a tendency of doing this. He did that with another man in the Scriptures in the Old Testament. That man's name was what? Job. But that's good. David also had some problems. That's the truth. But he actually desired of God to have permission, didn't he? To go after Job. And the same thing seems to be taking place here. He has desired, Peter, to have you. Keep looking. Satan wanted to toss him into the wind. And that's what this wheat chaff thing is. They would throw the wheat into the wind, and that was no good, it would be blown away. And that's what Satan, he was going to blow him away, baby. But I'll say, here's the kicker. So Satan desired to have him, and here's the kicker. Jesus let him do it. Jesus let him do it. See, that's the problem I have with so much of this pie in the sky prosperity. You're going to get it all. You're going to get here. You're going to get all the money. You're going to get all this stuff. Yeah. One problem with that, you've got a Savior in heaven that's saying, Satan, yeah, you can go after him. Yes, Satan, you can go after him. Why would Jesus do that? We need to be refined, don't we say? How many, when we came to Jesus, baby, we just burn it up? We had to act together. That's not true, is it? Didn't we have junk and mess in our life that needs to be burned away? And don't we still have that stuff in our life? And it usually doesn't get burned away with good times. It gets burned away with some fire and some heat and some trouble and some banging on you. And that's what's happening here. Why did he let him do it? Why did he let Satan come after him? Say this with me. Say it out loud. So there would be nothing left but the reality of his faith. See, we're going to build a movement here. It's called the church. And buddy, you can't do it in your own strength, Peter. If you're going to move forward, there needs to be nothing of you left. And whatever it is in you, even if it's just a smidgen of me in there, we need to get to that and build the program. And so that's what happened to Peter. Keep looking. Peter was going to see how much chaff was in him, how little real substance he had in him. And that's what was happening in this process. I don't like the process, but that's life. How many have just been, you've gone toe-to-toe with the devil and he's knocked you out? Can I see your hand? Come on. Come on, yeah. It's the way it is, man. It's part of reality. Keep looking. We're going somewhere, though. Yeah. That's us. No, there's no problems. I'm going to have it great. We live in a state of denial. And that's my message to you today. As I was studying the Scripture, I felt like the Lord helped me see two things. He helped me see two things. And I've been mulling this over for 3 weeks. I preached it to Joy 4 or 5 times already. She hates the message. Where are you at, baby? You somewhere? She don't you? You know you hate it. You know you hate it. That don't stop me though. We're going forward with the message. No, I have two things to share with you about this denial. I really want your attention. I really need you to hang in here because I think this will be time well spent, not just for yourself but for our community. Let's look at it. State of denial. What's denial mean? It means this: a refusal to believe. Say this with me. It means this. Oh, no, not me, never. You got to lose that. We got to lose that. That's living in a state. Oh, no, not me, never. Let's look at this message this morning. Two states of denial. Let's look at the first state of denial. Say first state of denial with me. First state of denial. Here it is. And that is this. Say that with me. We deny things we may. Now, I don't know if that's good English, but that's what I'm talking about. Number one, we deny things that we may do. We are. We do that. And that's what I saw Peter do. As I studied this, I saw four things that Peter did that had to do with him denying things that he may do. And we need to be careful. We can't live in that state of denial. If you think, hey, I've got a great marriage, I'll never run around on my wife, you better just watch your step and you better watch your mouth. God will not, God lifts up those who are humble, not those that exalt themselves. Amen? As long as you still got flesh on your bones, you better watch it. Are you hearing me today? We deny things we made. Oh, I'd never do that. Better be careful. I'm sure Peter didn't go into this thing thinking he was going to deny Jesus three times. And most people I've ever known that had some major problems and screw-ups in their life, they didn't plan on having them. They thought they wouldn't have it. It happens in the church. No, that just happens out there. Do you know marriages in the church now, they say 52%, 55% end in divorce? Oh, no! Till death do us part. We need to be careful. Amen? When you think you stand, say it with me. Take heed lest you what? Fall. So let's look at it. We deny things we may do. Let's look at the story. First of all, we can't trust our own resolve. You can't trust your own resolve. Look at this next one. Promises and resolutions don't keep you from falling. How many ever resolved at the beginning of the year you were definitely going to lose 15, 20 pounds? Let me see it. Come on. I'm going to do it. Yeah, me. Or I'm going to resolve to read my Bible every day. I'm resolved to pray. I'm going to start tithing. It better be more than your own resolve and your own promises, or it ain't going to fly. We deny things that we may do. Let's look at the story now. Here it is. First of all, the first thing under point number one is this. Don't say, I'll never do that. Say that with me. Don't say, I'll never do that. Let's look at our Bible. Luke 22. And he said unto him, who said this? Peter said it. After Jesus told him about Satan was going to sift you as wheat, he's going to have you. I pray that your faith don't fail. Then Peter said, Lord, I am ready to go with you both into prison and to death. See? Keep looking. And he said, I tell you something, Peter. The cock of the rooster shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou even know me. Let's look at how another writer put it. Matthew 26. Jesus said unto Peter, verily I say unto thee that this night before the cock of the rooster crows, thou shalt deny me three times. And here's what Peter said. Peter said unto him, though I should die with you, yet I will not what? Deny you. Likewise also said who? All the disciples. We live in a state of denial. We deny things we may do. And the first thing we do, first mistake we make is that don't say you won't do something. Be careful. Be very careful. You still have feet of clay, friend. Let's look at the next thing. Don't say this. I don't need to pray about temptation. I don't need to pray about temptation. I've got that puppy whooped. And I know that when you're hearing me today, a lot of you are saying, this is stupid. Why is he even saying it? We don't say this. Well, if a great man like Peter fell into this trap, why wouldn't I preach to you people about it? You know what I'm saying? We need to be careful. I don't need to pray about temptation. It's not something we say. It's just something we don't do. You see what I'm saying? Oh, I'd never say I don't need to pray about temptation. But we never do it. We never pray that we won't enter into temptation. We never pray over these things in our life. Look at chapter 22. Now we've had the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. And He came out, Jesus, went out of the Lord's Supper going to the garden. And as He went, He was wont to the Mount of Olives, and His disciples followed Him. Keep listening. And when He was at the place, He said unto them, say it with me, pray that ye enter not into what? Temptation. But watch the story. Keep looking. Luke 22. And when He rose up from prayer, Jesus, now He prayed, and He prayed, and His sweat was what? It was this what? Drops of... So what? He won't pray, and Jesus is praying. But He comes from prayer Himself, and He comes to His disciples, and He finds them what? Sleeping from sorrow. Verse 46, He said unto them, why sleep you? Rise and pray, lest you what? Enter into temptation. Now, another gospel writer says this, records Jesus saying, what? Couldn't you watch and pray with me for how long? 1 hour. We deny things we may do. We think our marriages are secure. We think that, you know, we've got our spiritual act together. And how do I know I'm saying, why am I saying that? Because we don't pray. We don't pray. We don't pray. We ought to pray for our marriages. Well, my son or my daughter, they're real bright. They're going to do great. Listen, pray for them. Satan wants to have their lunch. Amen. Say, Oh, we'd be fine without praying if there wasn't a wicked one out there trying to devour us. We've got to pray, man. And you don't pray when you get in the mess. Pray before the mess comes. We deny things we may do. Keep looking. Number three, don't say this. Don't say this. I'll fight my own strength. I'll fight my own strength. I can handle it. I'm fine. I'll use my own strength. Now, we would never probably say that, but that's what we do. We're not equipped spiritually. We're not in the Word of God. We're ho-hum, haphazard in the way we live our life with Jesus Christ. What are we saying? I'm fine. I can fight the devil by myself. I can handle it. Whoo, that's a problem. That's a state of denial. Let's look at the story. It goes on. So after they prayed, and not prayed in the garden, Judas, the betrayer, comes. He has a band of men. That's probably at least 600 soldiers. Sometimes we think there's like 8 of them. No, it's a huge amount of soldiers and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees. They come thither with lanterns, with torches, with weapons. And they're coming into the garden, and he's going to betray Jesus, and they're going to apprehend Jesus Christ. Look what happens. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, he drew it. Good grief. I mean, there's a mob. But what does he do? I can handle it. I can do it in my own strength. He was an idiot. And by the way, that's the title of next week's message. Peter, a real idiot. And the funny thing is, I want to be an idiot just like him. Be here next week. Please be here. Clark wants to be an idiot just like Peter. But here he was. I didn't want to be like this. But how many's ever been there before? You fought in your own strength, say. And buddy, that dog didn't hunt. That didn't work. And this is what he did. He pulled out his sword. He was going for the guy's head. He wasn't even good with that, man. He's used to filleting fish, not cutting people's head off. The servant's name was Malchus. And what did Jesus say? Look at it. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up your sword into your sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? And he had to rebuke Peter. Had to heal the guy's ear. Put the ear back on. Okay? We deny things that we may do. Okay? Oh, I'll never do that. Oh, I don't need to pray about that. Oh, I can fight my own strength. Here's the fourth thing. Don't say this. I can stand alone. Say that with me. Don't say, I can stand alone. I don't need church. I don't need other Christians. I don't need fellowships. I don't need a friend. I don't need accountability. I don't need that. See, I'm fine. I can stand alone. We tell our kids, and it's not wrong to tell them this when we send them out into this world, you need to be able to stand alone if you have to. But it's that if you have to thing. You hearing me? That shouldn't be our thinking. A lot of people say, well, I can worship God down by the seashore. Sure, I've worshiped Him there. That's not the point. The point is you need people. Amen? You need strengthening. You need help in your life. Look at what Peter did. Look! I saw it for the first time, clear as a whistle. Luke 22. So they take Jesus. They take Him away. And they led Him away. And they brought Him into the high priest's house. Say that with me. And Peter followed afar off. If you look at another gospel version, not a translation, but another writer's perspective on what happened, you see that another disciple, probably John, was with Peter. So the two of them are there. But then you don't see John anymore. And Peter said, I'll go with you to prison. He was trying, what didn't he say? He was trying. Everybody else had forsook him and fled. So it's not about trying, friend. Okay? You can try sometimes and be alone. You cannot be alone against the devil. Are you hearing me today? We need each other. I need you. I come to this church on Sunday morning because I love it, but I come here because I need an IV. I need to hear the Word of God. I need to be involved in your life. It's as important, or probably more important for me than it is for you. And if I wasn't at Fellowship Church, I'd be at some church this morning. Why? Because I need the IV, man. I can't be alone. Don't answer, but how many of you got in some serious trouble when you were alone? You were alone. You were alone. You were alone. And Peter's alone, man. And what happens to him? Watch it. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, say it with me, Peter sat down among who? Them. The disciples? Yes or no? Oh no. The enemies of Christ. He's alone. You can see it. He ain't got a dog's chance. What happens? He sits down with them. Look at the rest of the story. And a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked at him. She looked at him and said, this man was with him. And he denied, Peter denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also one of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. He's all by himself. What's a man to do? Say, huh? He didn't have a chance. Verse 59, and about the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. What'd Peter say? And Peter said, man, I know not what you're saying. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crowed, just like Jesus said. Now watch it. And the Lord turned. How close was Peter? How close was Peter to the Lord? How close was he following? He's following pretty close. You can follow pretty close, but if you're alone, you're going to have some problems. Are you hearing me? Say, oh man, I love Jesus, baby. I'm right there next to him. Who's with you? Anybody with you? Some fellowship? I'm not saying you got to have a whole scad of people, but man, we need to find, and that's what we need to do in this church. We need to make sure people have somebody. Amen? That's why when you come to this place on Sunday morning, listen, we need to reach out to people. We need to go out of our way. Well, I want my seat. I want to be comfortable. I'll let you sit up here with me or something if that's okay. But be friendly. Reach out to people. Amen? Touch them. Go to the invader space a little bit. How you doing? Glad to have you. And they might not say much to it, but we got to show that we care. We got to let them know they're not alone. Something happened funny to me up in Orlando this week. I was at this big conference for the first part of the week. And I don't know if this fellow's here that I met or not. But I'm walking down a back alley of a sidewalk that is like totally out of anywhere. I'm with my wife. I meet somebody there from Milwaukee that we know at the convention. They're big radio people, and I'm talking to them. But then I see these kids coming. They're, I don't know, they're 20, 25. They're kids to me, young people. And they're coming by. And the guy reaches out his hand and shakes my hand, looks at me. He's not with the conference. He's just in Orlando. That's a big place. You know what I mean? I don't know what this story has to do anything, but it's a good story. I'm going to tell it. Come on. Listen. And that guy comes up to me, and he shakes my hand on this sidewalk that's in the middle of nowhere. And he says, hey, I'm sorry I wasn't at church Sunday. And if you're here, honestly, I didn't know. Are you here? Says, yeah, raise your hand if you're here. That fella. Well, then you missed 2 weeks. Oh, but you. Oh, gee, baby. Man, a lot. But you know what he said? He said, I'm sorry I missed church Sunday. I think he's a homeless guy or something. Honestly, that's what I'm thinking. I'm fixing to give some money. Not that he looked that way, but that's what I'm thinking. I'm in the middle of nowhere. And he said, I'm sorry I missed church Sunday. I'm like, he said, fellowship, right? Inglewood. Pastor Clark. I said, yes, sir. And you know, it was the truth. I remember him coming. And I remember him sitting over in this zone, and he came because he heard the radio, our radio ministry, and he heard about my mama. He said, I heard your mother was murdered, and I just had an interest. I just wanted to come. And I remember he came, and he sat by himself, alone. Are you hearing me? There are people like that that come. They need to know that we care. I know I got off the path, but did you get the point? All right? I thought that was a crazy story. You never know whose lives you're touching. Amen? So the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, before the cock shall crow, thou shalt deny me 3 times. And look at what Peter did. Keep looking. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Was Peter sorry for what he did? Say. You think he confessed what he did? Say. Sure. You think he was sorry as the day is long for what he did? Amen. And it happened. So this is living in denial. When we deny things that we may do, that's living in a state of denial. Don't do that. Remember those 4 points. What were they again? Can we remember? Number one, don't ever say, I won't do that. I'll never do that. Don't ever say, I don't need to pray about temptation. Don't ever say, I can fight my own strength. Don't ever say, I can stand alone. That's what Peter said. Everybody else deny you, but not me, Jack. not me. Be careful. That's what I saw. State of denial. Listen to Peter's response many years later after he wrote the book of 1 and 2 Peter, and now he's a seasoned man. He's been through the ringer. This verse means so much more to me now. Look at it. 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are what? Accomplished in your what? Brethren that are in the world. Do you think he was qualified to write that verse? Say, isn't that good? Isn't that good? I never saw that so clear. Who better to write that verse about Satan wanting to sift you than Peter? Now here we go for the second part of the message. This is the part my wife didn't like. Here we go. State of denial. This is really important to me. I hope you'll listen. Okay, it's really important. Here we go. Number one, we deny things that we may do. Number two, we deny things that we have done. I'm not talking about it's not confessed. I'm not talking about things we've done and we don't own up to we did it. We try to remove it from who we are. We try to remove it so far out of our life that it's not a part of who we are. And not everybody's going to agree with me on this, but I don't really care because I'm going to preach it. Here we go. I want you to think about it. You listen. Come on. We're cool at admitting sins or sinful tendencies in our lives like this. Oh, yeah, I lied. Oh, yeah, I stole a pencil once when I was 8 years old. Or I gossiped. Oh, yeah, I said something about somebody one time. I did it. We're good at that stuff. We're good about talking about that. Oh, yeah, I'm a sinner. But look at me. Listen to me. Listen. But we play cover-up with more graphic and grotesque behaviors. And you might be here today saying, well, you should. You shouldn't tell people them awful, nasty, dirty things you once did. Well, I'm here and I'm going to argue the point with you. Here it is. Why do we play cover-up? Why are we so quick to say, oh, yeah, I've lied. Oh, yeah, I stole a pencil when I was 8. Oh, yeah, I've gossiped before. Why do we do that and we don't reveal or talk about? I'm not talking about on a soapbox where you just air all your dirty laundry you've ever done. But I'm talking about with certain people that you touch in this world that needs to know that there are other hell-raising sinners out there that the grace of God saved them. How are they going to know? Because now you look so pretty. You look so good. We just dress it up, baby. We talk the right talk. Amen. Bless God. Glory. They didn't know we used to didn't say them kind of things. You hearing me? Listen, why do we play that cover-up game? I'm trying to talk about being real. It's what I'm trying to do here today. Okay? Because what will people think of me? Say that with me. What will people think of me? Say it again. What will people think of me if they knew the pit he dug me from? They just might think they can get out of their pit. You hearing me? See, we become Christians. This is just my opinion. I'm out there on a limb. But it's my opinion that we create this Christian image and we only go so far with really being real because what will people think of us? And we live our life and we're somebody that we're really not. I don't know if that makes sense to you. The point is I'm not, and I don't think we're doing it in a self-righteous way. I don't think, oh, I never did something like that. I'm not talking about that. I think we just fall into this kind of thinking. We're not really real. And I think the pastors of this country, me especially, we're the ones that have the hardest time with it. Because we're up here every week, man. We got to be careful about what we say because we don't want to offend people. We want them to think well of us. Well, I think I've already blown that with you people, so. Amen? So we're just going to share it with you. That's what we're going to do. So follow this train of thought with me. We deny things we have done. Here's the problem. Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Samson, David, Solomon, Peter, and Paul, they didn't have that option. Why? Look at it. Because God says, here's these guys, and here's what they did. Wouldn't David almost be a perfect man if that story of Bathsheba wasn't in there? Say. And Moses, a mighty man of God. Murderer. Murdered somebody. We sort of justify that for him. But then he had an anger problem, right? God included that. And we even sometimes worry with that. We go, man, why did God do that? That's not that big a deal. God wants you to know what He's working with. It didn't bother Him. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. Don't you wish you could keep that secret? Say. Why you got to put that in there? Why can't you put all that other good stuff I did? God wants us to see these guys. Here, why does He do that? God's saying, look at my grace. Watch it. Isn't it amazing? And so often, we don't tell folks, especially maybe somebody we're personal with or we're close with or somebody we're able to share Christ with, we stop short and we tell them about this person that we've created. And we don't go so far as to tell them, no, wait a minute. Let me tell you how really bad I was. That makes us uncomfortable. How many is uncomfortable doing that? Come on, just be honest. That's uncomfortable, isn't it? Isn't that uncomfortable? And you have to do this under the Spirit of God. I'm not saying do it the way Gary does it. But I think we're not real when we come across and we just so spiritual. Keep looking. To the world, the folks at Fellowship Church seem to be pretty good. I think if we took a poll out here in Englewood, what do you think about those folks at Fellowship Church? I think, well, they're pretty good. Pretty good people there. Pretty good. Okay. I think they would say this. I mean, they got sinners there, but not like me. I'm talking about lost people, the world out there. Isn't that who we're trying to reach, say? I told somebody today, a brother I knew from a former church. He's here today, and I'm glad to have him. But I told him straight up, we're not trying to reach people from other churches. We're trying to reach people that need Christ. Are you hearing me? And if this is what they think of us, oh, they're pretty good people. I mean, it's not bad. I mean, there's sinners there, but they're not like me. Somehow they got to know they like us. Amen? Look at it. Keep looking. Here's what I think about Fellowship Church. Get ready to duck. Come on. Here it is. I think there's some really bad people in this building. I do. Who've done some horrible, terrible things that are making it by the grace of God. That's what I think when I look at you. That's what I see. And see, from my vantage point, see, I can see that a little better because I get to do counseling with you. I get to be in those hard times with you where you bear your soul. But we can't do that with other people because what will they think of me? It's something to think about, isn't it? State of denial. Keep looking. That's why we relate to Peter. That's why we like Peter. Peter went through something. We saw him go through it. We can relate to it. How many in some circumstance in your life, through not speaking up or keeping your mouth shut about being a Christian or whatever, you've actually walked away, you've denied the Lord in a certain situation? I have. And I can relate to Peter. It makes me feel good that somebody else did it. You hearing me? People need to see that there are people at Fellowship that did it too. But we're making it by the grace of God. For example, our world needs to see a homosexual that says, I've had these tendencies since I was a kid, but I've received Christ as my Savior. But that didn't mean all my tendencies went away. It means daily I'm in the Word. Daily, I'm trying to remain pure. And it's hard, but I'm making it. Is that a powerful story or what? Peter was real. I'm going to say one other thing. This is just about my own life. And we're going to be just a smidgen late. Hang in here with me. We always are. Here we go. You don't know what time we're supposed to get at, so none of you know, do you? Here we go. When I got married, I struggled in marriage. I didn't know how to love joy. I knew I liked having sex. Excuse me. Knew that. Knew she was pretty. Smelt good. Loved touching her. But I didn't know how to love her. And I couldn't believe she loved me because I really knew who I was. You hearing me? How could she love me? Preacher's daughter, pretty as a day is long, Miss Tennessee teen, all them good things. How could she love me? And we struggled. I was jealous. I pushed her away. I'd accuse her of things. You like somebody else? I'm a ministry student. I'm in seminary. And I said those things. You're seeing somebody else. You're stepping out on me. Because I was so jealous. Because how could somebody like me? Is there any other man that can relate to what I'm talking about up here? But it went way back for me. When I was 12 years old, 11 years old, my mom and dad divorced. They never loved each other, never kissed, never did anything. They fist fought. Then mama started having men live in the house. And there's some man down the hall that's having sex with my mother. I'm 12 years old. I'm not a Christian, but something inside me says this is bad. And it hurt me, made me feel useless. That same man that was doing that, well, later on, he took a .357 Magnum and shot and killed my mother. Shot her 6 times, killed her, years later. But when I was 12, that man would bring Penthouse magazines and Playboy magazines, and he would put them on my dresser in my room. See, I wasn't one of the kinds of kids that had to go sneak and hide and pull them out of the drawer or under the bed mattress. They were laying on my dresser. And the crap and the filth that entered my mind nearly destroyed my marriage. Because that's what I saw women as. Are you hearing me today or not? That's hard for me to say, no, not Pastor Clark. He never did that. I did. If you don't like me, fine. That's who I am. And quite frankly, because I said it, I relate to more men in this building now than I did before they came into building today. You know? It's the truth, man. But Satan wanted me. Satan wanted me even before I was a Christian. He was going to sift me, man. Shake me to my foundation. Ruin my marriage. Why? Because he knew that I could do something for God. He knew that I could achieve something in my life. And friend, you know what? He didn't do it. He didn't win, and we won. Amen? The battle ain't over. But we popped him in the mouth a few times. Amen? And that's God. Listen, you have a future. It's not by denying everything you've done and being lily white somehow. And I don't know if I'm preaching the message right today. I don't know if you're hearing it right. We deny things we have done. And there's probably somebody out there that needs to hear it. They need to hear it. They need to hear. You mean you were like me? No, I was worse than you. Amen? And he saved me. Well, then he might save me too then. Amen? That's what I'm talking about today. Let's keep looking. Peter's life was on display, and that gives us hope, Rog. We're moving. What about our world? Listen, does it have a clue about what God's done for us? Listen, does it know how far God had to reach down to save you? Look, does it know how we struggle every day with unbelievable sin issues? Or do they think we've arrived, man? What about our world? Does it see how we're making it? And there's hope for them too? That's what I'm talking about. Being real. It's a hard message, isn't it? Now you know why Joy didn't like it, don't you? Ladies, you wouldn't like it either, would you? Come on. Say amen, ladies, if you wouldn't like it either. Come on, join in with Joy so she ain't alone. You know, I'm sorry, honey, but I ain't, sort of thing. Here we go. Now we're almost done. We're almost done. Listen. Peter learned that in spite of his own sinful tendencies and weakness, the Lord wanted to use him, and he would sustain him no matter what. If it hadn't have been for his denials, I don't think Peter would have ever really known how far and deep the forgiveness of God really went. Some of the mess that you're trying to hide or you put it off, I'm not trying to bring up your horrid past all the time. Don't get me wrong. But if you'll just take a glimpse one time or two, you'll see how much God loves you. Amen? That'll help you in your life. Keep looking. Several things. Embrace your failures. Pop it up, Raj. Owning up to them can be a catalyst to being used mightily of God. Embrace your failures. Instead of saying, I've never had trouble in my marriage. I screwed up. Why don't you tell somebody you did? Now, man, don't go be telling that to some woman. Just share that with a brother in the Lord. Amen? Who's struggling. You'll find one. You'll find one that you can share your story with. I thought it was just about God so loved the world, gave his own. No, you need to share the gospel, but you need to share something real in your life, how that gospel has really changed your life. Amen? The gospel's real, but you need to be real. Keep looking. Experiencing God's forgiveness is powerful, man. It's powerful. Sharing it brings hope to other people. I've been forgiven. Of what? Tell them. Last thing is this. Look at it. You're not bragging over your sins you committed. That's what I've heard all my life. I've heard people say that. And some of you are saying that and you're arguing with me today in your head. You're saying, Clark, what you're saying, you're bragging about your sins. You're giving glory to the devil. Oh, my friend, no. I'm bragging on God's wonderful mercy, His cleansing and healing power. Isn't it great to know that God can take little 12-year-old perverts and save them and put them into ministry? Amen? Praise the Lord. It can happen. It's not easy, though. Anyway, let Him do it for you, man. Come on. If you'll give Him a chance, who knows what God can do in your life? State of denial. There's old head in the sand. Oh, no, I never did any of that. Before Peter's denials, he was clothed in his own self-righteousness. Here's what he said. I'll never deny you. I don't need to pray about temptation. I can fight in my own strength. I can stand alone. He was clothed in his own self-righteousness. I finish up with Scripture today, and I'm just going to read it. Look at him now. He's naked as a jaybird. Did you know Peter was naked in the Bible? You never hear that part, do you? Here it is. Jesus had already appeared to his disciples after he had resurrected. Okay? And now he's showing himself again. While he came back to this earth, he was resurrected. Verse 2. There were together Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. John 21. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. This is after he denied the Lord. He had now seen the resurrected Lord. But he seems to still be going back to his old way of life. I don't think he had yet got a handle. He hadn't got a handle on what he had done and owned up to what he had did and realizing what he had did would make him somebody awesome for God. Look at it. They said unto him, we go with you. Why? Because they turned their back on him too. This ministry, things for the birds. They went forth. They entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. Sounds like the first time Jesus met them, doesn't it say? They didn't catch a thing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciple knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you caught anything? They answered him, no. Fishermen hate to hear that question. When they ain't caught anything. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship and you shall find. Boy, they had done that before early on when they met him, remember? They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Remember when Simon first met Jesus? The boats were sinking. So many fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, probably John, said unto Peter, it's the Lord! Now, when Simon Peter heard it, that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him. Say it with me. For he was... I don't know what that means. All I know is this. If me and Chad or me and some of my other buddies go fishing, we ain't getting naked, baby. It ain't happening. It ain't happening. I already talked to my good buddy here who writes he has an article in the paper on fishing. I already talked this morning. That ain't happening, baby. Amen. If we're going to stop right there, we got to hush. And so Peter cast himself into the sea. And he's the Sea of Galilee, the lake there. Keep looking. And he swims to shore to see Jesus. Now we're closing the message with these scriptures. Watch it. Jesus helped Peter face his failures. What happens when he comes to shore? There's food there for them. And then Jesus has a one-on-one time with Peter. Watch it. How many times did Peter deny Christ? Somebody tell me. Watch the story. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, Yes, Lord, you know I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. Number two, look at it. So that's the first time he asked him, did he love him? Second, he said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my sheep. He's helping him deal with his past. Look at this third one. Look at it. He said unto him the third time, Must I this drive Simon crazy? I already told you. He feels horrible. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Now I'll tell you something, the light went on in Peter's life. Watch it. He was never the same after this experience. Watch it. Lord, thou knowest all things, and thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said, Feed my sheep. Now here's my point. Keep reading. Got a couple other verses. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when you were young, you girded yourself. You walked whether you would. But when you're old, you're going to stretch forth. They're going to stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whether thou would not. Okay? This spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. We don't know how Peter died, but Clement writes, way back when, early on, that Peter's wife was crucified in front of him. And then it says that Peter didn't feel worthy to be crucified like the Lord, so he was asked to be crucified upside down. And some certainly believe, and he was talking about his death, and that has to go to it. I'm not sure. But here's the point. Keep looking, Raj. Jesus dealt with Peter on those three denials, I believe. And I might have missed you and lost the point with you because I about lost it in my own head up here. But the point is this. I think when we face what we have done, instead of denying what we have done, I'm talking about it's confessed, but somehow we can forget and become somebody who we really aren't. And we can forget about the pit that we were dug from. And I just think there's power in relating with people some things that's really happened in your life. Are you hearing the message or not this morning? You sort of hear what I'm saying? I'm not saying tell the whole world, but if you want to, get on your soapbox, tell everybody what Jesus did, that's fine. But I think really more than not, He's got some certain people in your life that you can minister to who are struggling just like you were and just like you still do, and you can have a powerful impact in their life. That's what I'm trying to say today. Stop denying what you have done. Peter ends it up like this in his book of 1 Peter. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, make you perfect, mature, establish, strengthen you, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know what? Your pastor is maturing in front of you, right before your eyes. Because Gary Clark, the pastor 10 years ago, would have never said what I said on the stage today. And I think it's a part of maturity when we start to understand how much God loves us, His grace has saved us. I don't think it's a problem talking about some of our past because we're able to handle it now. Does that make any sense? So we might not all be on the same page today, but don't just cut me off. Because there's a lost world out there that needs to hear that real people who are real bad really can be saved. Amen? And that's what it's all about. Let's praise the Lord this morning. Come on. Praise the Lord. Amen.